This is the first version of the man with a bomb in his turban or in his head.
Kurt Vestergaard points out a familiar cartoon in his hallway. It's satirizing Islamic terrorism, but it's not the one that caused such outrage.
There's no holy inscription of this one.
Now 80 years old, Vestergaard has retired from satire. His home in central Denmark is a fortress after a man from Somalia tried to kill him 5 years ago.
I have nothing to apologize for, so I will never give an apology. I think it would be a loss of professional self-respect if I should give an apology. I think it's a cartoonist's job to criticize those in power.
Do you accept that what you did was offensive to many Muslims?
Yes, but if you work according to the Danish tradition, then you offend people.
On Danish streets, there are occasional Muslim protests against Western depictions of the Prophet Muhammad. A decade on, especially after the Charlie Hebdo massacre and the Valentine's Day shootings in Copenhagen, most mainstream media outlets don't dare to publish images of Islam's most important figure. Nevertheless, Imran Shah of the Islamic Society believes he has a battle on his hands.
The very notion of connecting bombs with the religion of Islam, with the very acknowledgement of Islam, where you propose that there is no God but God, and the last messenger of a God sent to this earth was the Prophet Muhammad, connect that with a bomb, that's a very immature and uncivilized way of starting the debate and discussion.
Do you consider that Muslims have won? Because there are some people who would say that newspapers and all forms of media are now self-censoring because they're too afraid to publish images like those Muhammad cartoons.
There's no winners or losers in this. The simple thing is to respect each other and not to force people to accept to be dishonored, really ridiculed, and so on and so forth.
I'm in Copenhagen's main park to meet Flemming Rosa, the former culture editor of Jyllands-Posten, who commissioned the 12 cartoons. He'll spend the rest of his life under guard. There were watchful eyes around the cafe, where we talked about what some analysts call a jihadist's veto on free speech.
I think free speech is in bad standing. I don't think that the key threat comes from Islamists, but I think the key challenge to free speech comes within our own culture, that too many people don't believe in the value of free speech. In order to save the social peace in a multi-religious and multi-ethnic and multicultural society, Muslims need to work out, you know, a new concept of blasphemy and apostasy. For too many Muslims, it's okay to commit violence when non-believers or Muslims commit blasphemy.
I took a train to Sweden to meet artist Lars Vilks, who was the target of the first attack in Copenhagen in February. He's been living in various safe houses after drawing the Prophet as a dog. Protection officers drove me to a secret rendezvous in an armoured car. A guard remained in the police interview room as Vilks outlined his opposition to Islamic blasphemy laws.
The best medicine to settle the whole thing is actually to create an inflation. More profit pictures. I mean, in the end, you should actually see that it's just pictures. And there is pictures everywhere, and then the whole thing would just fade away.
But not everyone is as confrontational. At a Copenhagen rally to welcome refugees, two points of view. First, Carolina Dam, who has every reason to despise Islam after her son Lucas converted, was radicalized, joined Islamic State, and was killed in Syria earlier this year.
I think respect for another human being should be before anything else. We don't fight about paintings of Jesus, but that's because it's not a problem. But for Muslims, it's a problem. Why keep on pushing it? Why keep on poking them in the eye?
And here's Uzma Ahmed, an equality activist in Nørrebro, Copenhagen's most diverse neighborhood.
We don't need to have a talk about a huge cultural clash here, because it's about rights and it's about equality. But it's not given right now, because freedom of speech is for the very privileged.
At the park, Flemming Rosa outlined some of his concerns about the current migrant influx.
To me, as somebody who is concerned with freedom, the question is, you know, how are we going to be able to preserve fundamental liberties like freedom of expression and freedom of religion, which also implies the right to say no to religion, in a society that is going more and more, growing more and more diverse. So these clashes are inevitable. Unfortunately, most European politicians believe that in order to keep the social peace, we need to restrict freedom. I think it's the other way around.
Kurt Vestergaard limps to his gazebo for a smoke. How will history judge him? As a principled fighter for traditional Western values, or a man out of sync with the new realities of a changing Europe? Malcolm Brabant, DW, Copenhagen.